My name is Scott Kanemura. I was born in Inglewood, but raised in Gardena.
What generation Japanese American?
I'm Yonsei, fourth generation.
Did you have any family members in the camps during World War II?
You know, unfortunately, my parents, they grew up in Hawaii, so they didn't have camp out there. So.
What cars, since we're going to talk about cars, what cars do you currently own? What significant cars have you owned in the past?
Well, I have this Toyota Ferner in the background that I'm planning to take to the SEMA show to compete against in the Battle of the Builder contest. I also have this really bright Scion XB that was a former SEMA car from 2014. My past cars, I had my first street racing car was a 1974 Toyota Corolla, and it was a fully built motor with nitrous. I also had a 1987 Honda Prelude and a 1990 Acura Integra that I used to shoe race the Integra. The Prelude, we just put like really loud stereo system in it. Back then, you know, it wasn't really cool to do Hondas too much, but everybody kind of used to tease me about driving a college girl car. And then I think afterwards it started catching on to be a cool car to modify.
Why were Hondas not as popular back then?
It was more, yeah, like college girls would drive the Honda.
Like that stigma.
Yeah.
Were there other like car brands that have like similar like views, I guess, or not views, but like stereotypes?
You know, like the import culture. Yeah, it was like a lot of Datsuns and Toyotas and Mazdas, even American cars were really known in that culture. Like the Ford Pinto and the Mercury Capri were very popular. It was more not where the car was manufactured, but more like the style of what the import culture did. You know?
Get into more personal questions. So we'll start off with
hey.
Hey.
Long time no see.
What a great man.
His name's Jim Sugimoto. Unfortunately, he passed away way too early. Cancer sucks. And he always wanted to include people. And I owe him why I started getting into cars. So, I mean, basically, I was racing BMX bikes until like 6 months after everybody else started driving cars. And one night he's like, hey man, forget that BMX stuff, man. Like, he gave me a ride in his brother's fixed up car. And he decides to do burnouts and stuff. And he lived across the street from junior high school. Right, so we're doing burnouts and we're having fun and everything, and all of a sudden a cop comes, right, and he starts chasing us. And then we were going around and we're going all through the neighborhood and stuff, and then we kind of got away from him and we pull over on the side of the road and then we duck, right, and then we're like, we got away, right, and then all of a sudden the cop comes and starts pounding on the window like, you dummy, you know, like very clean version. Yeah, you dummies, you know why we caught you? And we're like, what? And he goes, you had your foot on the brake. So the brake lights were on. So that's how he caught us. And then it was right near my friend Jim's house, and his brother and a girl were hanging out there. And she sees the cop pull us over, and she comes running up, you know, and she has like a really short mini skirt on and a low cut. And then she's pleading to the policeman, don't arrest my little brothers, don't arrest my little brothers, right? And then allegedly, like, somebody called the police and said, somebody's breaking into the junior high school. You guys got to get down here right now. So the police got that on the radio and they said, you're lucky, we're letting you go. We have to go to the junior high. And then they took off. So, you know, we had running away from the police, We have girls in short mini skirts and low cut tops, and we got away with it. So I was hooked on cars after that. You know, like our group, the KMA group, like I think almost 90% of them started in BMX and then they progressed onto cars after. So yeah, it's definitely that's how we knew each other from riding the dirt tracks in our neighborhood and stuff like that. So yeah, it was definitely a big influence on everybody.
The neighborhood you grew up in, what was the car scene like in the 1980s? Like, what really stands out to you about that specific era?
There was a lot of Datsun. So I know like a lot of people have that BRE influence. Okay, in the 80s, there was a lot of Datsun and sprinkled with Mazdas and Toyotas back then. Yeah, so.
So does that mean at that point, import cars had already gained a foothold compared to, let's say, older American Muscle or other non-Japanese brands?
It had its own niche, you know. But yeah, I think a lot of the JA guys, they drove American Muscle cars as well as. But a lot of them, you know, like they got handed down cars from the parents. So yeah, they had to do what they had. So.
Which kind of cars were you interested in?
You know, believe it or not, I started with the American car. I had a 1966 Chevy Nova, and then I guess I started hearing like noise was very important. So like our friend gave me a ride in his Toyota Corolla, and he had these dual carburetors. And that noise and that feeling and that unique style of the import, like the Los Angeles import culture, that pretty much draw me to get rid of the Nova and go to a Toyota. So yeah.
When you say the unique style, can you just elaborate on what you mean by that?
You know, it's more like I know like a lot of people say stance. You know, everybody would lower the car really low and put really big tires underneath it, and you know, like put like a little air dam on there, and you know, just had its own. The import culture has its own unique style, kind of like how the lowriders, they say, you know, it's more than the car culture. It's a lifestyle. I believe like in the 80s, and I don't know about now, but yeah, like we had our own lifestyle. Like everybody had like the Bruce Lee glasses and kung fu shoes and members only jackets and all that stuff. So yeah, it was just it was more than the car. We had our own thing. And
you're in the middle of saying how, you know, it wasn't just about the cars, it was about the lifestyle.
Yeah, you know, like I noticed, I talked to a few of the younger guys now, like they would say like their parents would drag them to Obon festivals, you know, and you know, and things like that. But when we were growing up, it was really cool to go to the Obon festivals because you would cruise and girls and, you know, Okinawa dongos and plain doba and everything. It was a thing to, it was like the thing to do all year. Like everybody would get ready for Nisei week, you know. So,
you know, most like the folks in KMA, a lot of the other racing clubs, but their cars were not 100%, you know, Japanese brands, but majority. Mm-hmm. And how much of that was, you know, most of you guys were JA, mm-hmm. which are Japanese car brands, mm-hmm. and there is a kind of, you know, an identification with it, mm-hmm. versus how much of it was because these cars were gas efficient, relatively easy to modify, and frankly, maybe a little bit different than American muscle cars, if you wanted to just stand out. Mm-hmm. How much of it was tied into the fact that you all were of Japanese descent and why you decided to gravitate towards Japanese imports?
For me, it was just the look and the style, you know, that really drawn me, and the sound. And growing up in Gardena, I think we had the unique privilege of having a lot of the premier businesses that modified cars. Like we had Toyota Racing Development right here on Western, and HKS is another big Japanese brand that used to be right here, like 10 minutes away. So so the parts were pretty accessible for us, especially here in the South Bay. So I was probably like 15 or 16 years old, and My friend Jim, the one that I mentioned that got me into cars, he calls me over at high school. He's like, I got something very serious to talk to you about. So I'm like, what? So we go and we meet after school, and then he's like, hey, do you want to join KMA? Right? And I'm like, KMA is a car club. I don't even have my license yet, right? And then he's like, you know, he went and he made like a little Xerox copy sticker, and he goes, you could be our BMX division. And he made a little sticker just so I could be involved in KMA. So it was just very touching that he wanted to include me. And yeah, so that's how I joined KMA. And yeah, I just continued after I got my car, and all the way to the incident where my friend, he ended up getting shot and at Pacific Square. And the newspaper, the local newspaper, said KMA, the gang KMA, was involved in a gang fight. So, you know, a lot of us kind of had to take the sticker off the car, because your parents are like, isn't that the sticker you have on the side of the car that says it's a gang? So, yeah, so we had to kind of back off, but, yeah.
Yeah, I want to make sure we come back to that story. So, first of all, what did KMA stand for?
KMA stands for Kiss My Ass Racing, so.
Where did that, as far as you know, I mean, I know you weren't there, you didn't help found the group, but where did that name come from?
Yeah, just one of the members. I think my friend Jim's older brother, I think he said he decided to just call it that, so, yeah.
So what were the main things that you all would do in the club?
We would hang out at Jim and John's house. We would go to the Old Bone Festivals, you know, like OCBC, Nishi, Nisei. Like, that was a thing to do back then. We would go watch movies. We would go street racing every week at Pacific Square, or here in Gardena, or it was called Nagos back then, but now it's still Taco here in Gardena. So yeah, we would do a lot of that stuff.
Who were the other clubs that you knew that were around at
the time? There was obviously Shoreline. Shoreline Racing was around. Back then, we had it started out as rivals, actually. We really hated each other in the beginning. They're called Paradise Creations Racing. It's really funny how that works out, is like now we're best of friends, you know, like what, 30 years later and stuff like that. But yeah, there was our biggest rival, who was, believe it or not, it was more of a city thing. So I don't know if you watched that movie, The Outsiders, back in the 80s. Yeah. So they were kind of like the socials or whatever. And we were like the greasers, because we didn't have as much money as the Torrance guys. So yeah, that was our biggest rivals. But nowadays, we're really good friends with them also, so it's kind of cool.
That's right. Who were the Torrance? What was the Torrance crew?
They're just North Torrance. Like, they went to North High.
Got it.
And yeah, they're different.
And were these all predominantly JA clubs you're talking about?
They were, yeah. The majority of them were JAs. And from.
So, you know, what was your first memory of going to a street race?
Before I got my license, we would go out to Stadium Way by Dodger Stadium, and they would race up the hill. Majority of our stuff after, in this area, we would race in Compton. It was a more like, what's it called, Manzanar. Like, their streets are still there, Anna and Maria Street, Santa Fe and Del Amo. So yeah, it was just a lot of things. Believe it or not, I think the thing that actually got it the most accurate is like the Fast and Furious movie, believe it or not. Like, it was more like in the movie, everybody would just kind of park off to the side and kind of respect the race, right? And then let the people who are going to race, right? And if the cops come, everybody would leave. I think after our generation, it lost that. Like, everybody would just race. Like, hundreds of cars would just line up and race for free, right? And that's why I actually stopped racing, because I'm not going to race for free. It was all about making money back back when we were doing it. So, yeah.
What kind of money? What were the stakes in a lot of these races? How much were you racing for?
A lot of times it was in the hundreds, like 400, 500, 600. And, you know, a couple of times it got into the thousands. I have one race where the guy got me so upset I raced him for $5. You know, but I just did it just out of, he was trying to punk me in front of my girlfriend back then. You know, so.
But I mean, I would think $400 or $500 in the mid-'80s. That's a lot of money.
Yeah. You know, I worked at Jemco as a box boy making $7 an hour back then. So I even asked myself, how did I come up with that money, you know? So, yeah, it's interesting.